Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you bio-tuned? Are you tuned in? Is your biofield tuned in? How tuned in is it? Maybe we could do a better job. So to help us do a better job of tuning our biofield, is the author of a book called Tuning the Human Biofield. So that's an opportunity for us. Healing with Vibrational Sound Therapy. And I'm happy to have a guest on the show is Eileen Day McCusick. Eileen, welcome.
Hi, Peter. Thank you.
I'm so glad to talk to you. I've had tuning forks for maybe 20 years. I love them. I don't use them a whole lot. And there are times when I'm working with clients doing healing work and I get that, oh yeah, I need to use a tuning fork, and I'll test to see which tuning fork is appropriate and then work with it. And that's very elementary compared to you and what you do and what you teach and what your book is about. And so I'm very excited to know so much more. I've read your book and it's quite thorough, I must say, about the whole world of sound and what sound is and what our bodies are about and what the universe is about in terms of how and why sound can work, what's the purpose, what are we doing with it. And you're someone who has always been an inquirer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I ask a lot of questions all the time about everything.
Right. And that's what's so good about your book, because it's so thorough. And it's great to read someone who has all the best questions, because then you come up with all the best answers.
Except I find that questions always seem to lead to more questions and not often to the answers you're looking for.
Right. It takes a lot of work. And that's why your book is so diverse with information, because it led you all over the place.
Yeah.
And I was glad about that, because there were so many facts, so much understanding of even of life in general, because of your inquiry of sound and vibration and energy and the energy field, the biofield, what our energy field is like, our chakras and et cetera. And you've learned to use them and work with them. And because of that information, it helps you fine-tune and be a better practitioner.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, everything's energy and vibration anyway, you know, when it comes right down to it. So when we investigate, you know, how therapeutic sound works on the body, it sort of leads to this awareness of everything.
Well, it leads to more questions. And so your book is full of diving into what sound is, and let's talk about that, because it's not what people think it is.
Right.
It's not just vibrations moving through the air as in like a sine wave.
Yeah, well, you know, most people, we see the two-dimensional rendering of a sine wave going up and down. And so when you think of sound, that's what you tend to refer. There's a quote in my book that talks about that it's actually really not that. It's actually complex geometric figures that are organizing and disorganizing and organizing and disorganizing as it travels through a medium. And if you look at the study of cymatics, if you go on YouTube and look at some cymatics video, you can see how different frequencies give rise to different geometric structures. There's an experiment where they put salt crystals on a flat black metal plate and put a speaker underneath it. And as the tone changes, the pattern changes, and it spontaneously forms and reforms into increasingly complex structures. There's also a device called a cymoscope that does the same thing with water, and you can really see the geometry in that.
Well, I've always felt that form holds information, and the word information has a word form in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're talking about is very important, because you're talking about very complex use of sound that creates complex form. And to me, a complex form is information.
Yep.
And our brains interpret. That's our brains work through coding. It's all coding, and it's not linear. Our brains turn coding into linear thought, so that it makes sense to us. But our brains just receive these patterns. That's all brains do is receive patterns.
Patterns. Everything's patterns of information. It's true.
I was just realizing, just a few moments ago, talking with you, how it can work. For instance, I never realized it before, because this whole idea that sound is geometric form is it understands why my neighbor, when I grew up, when I was a kid, I had a next door neighbor, and we would string up a string between our bedroom windows with a tin can tied to the end of, the string is inserted into the base of the tin can on each side, and we would talk to each other through the tin cans and actually be able to understand each other. And I could hear his voice. I knew the sound of his voice. And all that was between us was a string, mm-hmm. just a regular cord, that would, all I could understand is that it understood the vibration. And that's all it was, but now I know that actually what was being transmitted was form, was geometric form in this vibration that was moving through this string. And so the geometric form had the information of his voice.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's I'm so excited to to get that, because it makes sense about so many things in life that yep. that we don't understand. And you're tuned in because you're trying to make the most of it.
Yeah, listening deeply.
Right. And so another thing that you do, because you mostly use tuning forks, and you're maybe one of the leading experts in the world on using tuning forks, to the point where tuning fork manufacturers had to go to new technologies to help you do a better job.
Yeah, because I was breaking them. I'm the only person in the history of therapeutic tuning forks to actually break them. And they don't break in half, but they lose their tensile integrity, just like guitar strings do. I have a really busy practice, so they're in use a lot. But what makes my practice with tuning forks different is that I use them to hunt down distortion in the field. So my forks are in distortion a lot, and that just wears them out. So I had to have a special alloy and process created that would hold up to the way that I use them.
And let's talk about that, about this dissonance in sound, because this is so important in your work, and so important for anyone who is thinking of working with sound. Is that when you hold up a tuning fork and it makes a beautiful sound, like I brought a tuning fork.
I see.
And I asked Higher Guidance of which tuning fork to bring. And this
so what one is that?
It's a D at 288. So I don't know what that means to you.
Well, a D is, in some models, D is used in the second chakra. And the second chakra is probably one of the most messed up in our culture.
So people, I think so.
That's where people need a lot of harmonizing, is in that particular one.
Right,
so.
Right. So so somehow that's the tuning fork that I was told to bring. And so what's exciting is that it's not just this sound. This is a great sound, but when you hold a tuning fork and your students hold a tuning fork, many of whom have gone into practice, what you get is overtones and also dissonant sounds. And so the tuning fork is actually a divining tool.
Yeah, I call it an invisible ink decoder. As it passes through the field, it interfaces with the information present, and it allows what's unseen and unheard to be sort of seen and felt and heard.
Right, right. I and a lot of people can use their hands. I use my hands,
mm-hmm.
and they can feel the quality of energy. They don't pick up vibrations. They pick up. It's hard to describe it, but it's the way that they move and feel and form around energy that I know what energy is doing.
Yeah. Yeah, what's neat about the tuning fork is that it gives a feedback loop to the person on the table. Because when we get into an area of distortion, you can really hear it. You know, if I'm teaching a class with 10 people in the room, like, everybody can hear these distortions. And so it just makes it more real, especially if someone's kind of skeptical about biofield work or, you know, hands-on healing. If I get over an area where they have an injury and the fork sounds really funky, you know, they hear that and they go, wow. That's really reflecting, you know, what's going on there. That's pretty wild. And then because the tuning fork is producing a coherent frequency, it entrains the body into a more coherent sort of co-resonance with it. And you can hear that, and then you feel better, you know. So it becomes really evident that something is really happening.
Right. And in your book, you try to explain so much of this through... And I love so much of the science that the way you explain it is through plasma, bioplasma.
Mm-hmm.
And what is plasma and where does it come from? And we can understand our energy fields better. It's much more scientific than just talking about energy.
Yeah.
You've really been a student of the science of plasma and trying to understand where plasma comes from, that it pervades the universe and that it actually helps us understand how we can work with meridians and chakras and so many different things, because plasma creates form and we work with that form, right?
Yeah. It's a more sort of concrete definition or understanding. You know, what's the energy in energy medicine, right? And the energy in human energy field. And it tends to be this sort of, nebulous sort of concept. But when I went and started learning about plasma and the way that plasma behaves, the way that plasma behaves in space, and how fractally it's really the same as the way the human energy field is described. So I've come to see, you know, the human energy field as just a diffuse magnetic medium or a diffuse magnetic plasma.
And it's
a really simple explanation.
Yeah.
And when I tell people, you know, when I give lectures and I talk about plasma and I talk about the ether, everybody says, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, there's sort of a resonance that people have with the concept. It sort of puts your mind at rest. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. That's why that works. I mean, I don't claim to have all the answers, but this is, like, of all the things I've gone looking for, it's really what's made the most sense to me.
Right. At least in our third dimension, we can understand all of this oneness, because the plasma is interconnected through, and you talk about it in your book, through the ethers. And these are all form. These are all energies moving in a way consciously and are directed. And so our energy field, and this is very important in your work, is that you've wrote about in your book, is that our energy field is a product of our lives, of our thought processes, of our emotions, of our life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the patterns in our energy field represent that. And where there's trouble in our lives, there's trouble in these patterns.
Exactly. Yeah, I say that that your life situation is an exploded view of what's going on in your field, because all of our perception is filtered through all of the experiences that we've had. And if we've had a lot of trauma, then everything we perceive is tinted with that trauma, and we react to things from that trauma or from those wounds. So when we start to clean up the energy field, really interesting things happen. Like, people's homes become a lot cleaner, their lives become more organized, they have less drama. you know, as we were able to sort of smooth out these rough patches from historical input. There's also, you know, a lot of, we were bound by our fixed limited beliefs, by this concept that I'm calling energetics, which is emotional energy that we've inherited from our ancestors, you know, and beliefs along that. A lot of stuff that people carry around with them is stuff that they've inherited, you know, that isn't even necessarily there.
And these are patterns that are interconnected with everyone else and everything around us. And so when we're walking around with these inherited patterns and also patterns that we've been conditioned to in current life, we are walking around actually out of balance in ways that influence everything around us.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're complete transmitters. And if you think about the way that quantum physics is defined about how the observer creates the observed, if you have inner chaos, you are going to be creating external chaos wherever you go. You know, and if you certainly look at the state of world affairs and what chaos humanity is in, it's just all a collection of our collective magnetic fields and all of the noise and static we're all carrying around.
Right.
But the amazing thing is, and the, you know, this is what to me is really redemptive here, is that underneath the noise and static and chaos and beliefs and everything else that doesn't serve us, that's heavy and out of balance, is an essential harmony that I've found in everybody. And that gives me hope.
Right. The potential is there to bring us back.
Yeah.
And there are so many ways of doing it. I love the tuning fork way of doing it. But there are words that can do it. Dr. Emoto's understanding of working with feelings and with words that change the form of water. And
Absolutely. And
we're made up of water.
Yeah.
So there's,
you know, words are so important. I always say, you know, the thing that I've learned the most as a sound healer is that the most powerful thing in the universe is right under your nose, and it's your mouth. Because
right.
We are water, and water does respond to what we say. And most people walk around saying terrible things to themselves. You know, almost everybody seems to have a vicious inner critic that's so unkind.
Well, watching people's language, I'm always helping people speak better. And you know, one thing I'm always saying to people when they say, "Oh, I'll never get this done," you know, up till now, you know, I'll add, or yet, I'll
right.
add those words to the end of their sentences. Please start using those suffixes
right.
more often so that you're not creating an absolute or universal in your statements about how bad you are.
That's right. Yeah, people don't realize how powerful and creative their speech is. And, you know, what you speak is what you create.
Right. And also, well, toning, too. Our voice represents missing frequencies that are out of balance. And you talk about Cheri Edwards in your book, and I knew her years ago, and she's amazing that she can listen to you and hear what tones are out of balance in you.
Yeah.
And then create those tones to bring you back into balance. And somewhat a lot of what you do with the tuning forks is you move them around until you find where the resistance is, and then you know that it needs that sound that you're offering to get rid of that resistance.
Yep.
And so sound healing is really a future, a great future for health in so many ways that because also our chemistry of our body is vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there are, and there have been, there's the work that you mention in your book of Dr. Manners, who had a Cyma 1000 machine.
Right.
And he had 500 different tones. And then there was also Rife a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who found the frequencies that were needed to upset the damaging activity going on in the body.
Yeah, and reharmonize it.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. it knocks it out first.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a friend of mine who has a company, and they are going to be delivering, selling drinks that have resonances in them that have been shown through scientific study that they actually eliminate different diseases.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he thinks that the sky's the limit with these resonances and they've shown in research how powerful they are to dismantle diseases.
Neat. So, yeah, I mean, the sky is the limit with all kinds of sound therapies. You know, we're really coming into a dawning new age with it, and I feel like what I'm doing with tuning forks in the biofield is really primitive compared to what the potential is here.
It's a great start. You know, you've seen so many changes in your clients and your students who have gotten excited from experiencing your work and then going out and working with others, and they have all kinds of stories to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, what's neat is that it's a really simple process. You know, it's basically what I call click, drag, and drop. You put the tuning fork through the field until you hit resistance, and then you drag it along and you drop it into the closest chakra. And what that does is it just facilitates flow. You know, in places where things weren't moving, now all of a sudden they are. And that's the essence of healing, you know, is creating flow. So it's a very, very simple process. But it produces very profound outcomes. And, you know, people can learn it in a weekend and go home and start helping people to diminish pain, diminish anxiety, you know, get unstuck. I think we kind of all have moments in life where we kind of end up in a ditch of some kind, you know, the proverbial ditch. And that's just stuck energy in your body and your mind and your field. And the tuning forks help it to get going again. And I've seen some really incredible outcomes with people.
What you just described, I think, is really interesting, that this click and drag and drop. What you're saying is that you can find the dissonant sound that you because you feel it in your tuning fork. In other words, it reacts to resistance.
Yep.
And then You can move the tuning fork along, holding on to the resistance until you get too close to a chakra or an inner chakra. And then how do you drop it?
I don't know. It's just going to get sucked in. That's what it seems like. You know, once it's because the chakra is a vortex, and once that energy is close enough to it, it kind of has to be right over it. It just feels like the body just sucks it in. It puts something that was, you know, in the shamanic tradition, there's the concept of soul loss, that when we undergo some kind of traumatic or stressful event, we leave a piece of us behind because we aren't able to integrate that experience. And so when I first started discovering that there were these areas of stuck energy in the field, and I was putting them back, and I was starting to understand that they were related to historic traumas, I called it sonic soul retrieval. Because it really is like going back in the timeline. But in the biofield anatomy, the biofield is timelined. As we generate information, it moves away from the body. So information I find at the outer edge of the field, which is about 5 feet out on most people, relates to gestation, birth, earliest childhood. And then everything else falls in between, like rings in a tree. So depending on where I find an area of distortion and resistance, you know, where it is relative to the edge of the field in the body, I can tell what age it was generated at. And then the field also seems compartmentalized, so different emotions live at different levels within the field. So I could say, you know, this is sadness at age 12. What happened to you then? And the person would say, oh, that's when my mother died. There would be a lot of soul loss around that. And so for whatever reason, the tuning forks act in a magnetic fashion to the energy in the field.
In the field that you've mapped.
Yeah, that I've mapped. And so, you know, so I can do this work at a distance now, and someone will pretend they're on the table, and I pretend they're on the table, and I go in with my forks, and I find all of that information present, but it's like a science now. It's not really intuitive, because I know what different frequency signatures relate to different emotions. You know, I could tell someone they have a tight shoulder or a rotation in their neck or a rotation in their pelvis. And I can actually manipulate that. And it's all very scientific, because it's the same in everybody. The patterns are the same in everybody.
Yeah,
the only thing I need to know is their age.
Okay. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But the idea now is that the tuning fork is intuitive. Or yeah, let's just say it's intuitive because you're holding it.
Well, it's informed by my pattern recognition,
right,
I guess, at this
right
point.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's and this is something you mentioned in your book, you know, the subtle muscle movements that actually might be the reason why pendulums do their thing, and yet mm-hmm. the person holding the pendulum has no idea that they're making it work that way.
Right. But some part of them is influencing it.
Right.
The part that might know or thinks it knows anyway.
Right. And so your tuning fork, you have somebody at a distance, you know, another part of the world, and all you have to do, you know, their name and their age.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because of their age, you know, how many rings or whatever you want to call it, how much distance there is in the field around them.
Yep.
That reflects different experiences in their lives.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
No, it is. It's fascinating how, you know, because you're really, I want to call you smart, and, you know, because you have this intelligence that needs to know and understand, not only in some conservative way, you know, there's all kinds of resistance to new information out there, but you're open to inquiry, to, you're willing to question and learn and find what's different, and you have a very creative mind, and so you're breaking new ground because of your experience, like having broken tuning forks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm also really skeptical, and I tend to be skeptical of everything that I'm told, and I've always been like that. You know, right. It used to be very frustrating to my mother. It's like, you can't tell that child anything. She's got to figure it out for herself.
But that's the questioner in you. So
yeah.
We're running near the end of the show, and I'd like people to know that you have a book called Tuning the Human Biofield, and your name is Eileen Day McCusick, McCusick. How can people find you and your teaching and everything?
Yeah, I have a website. My website is eileenmccusick.com, and it lists my classes. I've only got a few on the schedule right now for 2015, but I'll be adding more. I also lecture at conferences. I travel to teach if people, you know, want to recruit me to come to their neighborhood. And I sell my own brand of tuning forks, my high-grade tuning forks. You can get those on my website. And I also have instructional videos that are a companion to the book. In the book, I actually tell you, like, everything you need to know to do the practice. So it's really available. You know, if you want to grab a fork and watch the videos and read the book, you can start practicing Thanks. On your friends right away.
So great. Eileen McCusick, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Great. Thank you for having me.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. A lot of new classes coming up in 2015. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.